Well, praise God. I want to start out this morning and show you a few things and tell you a few things about what we saw. It was probably the most dangerous trip that I've ever been on. There was danger at every turn because I had seven ladies with me. And just me, just little old me in the midst of it. But I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And all of you husbands, I want you to know, if you think that I didn't do something right or your wife didn't call home enough, I gave them cell phones with minutes prepaid on it to call home in their hands instantly when they arrived. So if you didn't get enough phone calls, don't talk to me. So anyway, we did get to experience something that I've never experienced before, was the earthquake, that 7.3 earthquake. There actually was three earthquakes all hit simultaneously. And, you know, I've never been in an earthquake. And so I was standing in the shower, and all of a sudden I thought, man, I'm getting dizzy. What's the matter with me? And I started praying about being dizzy. And then I thought, the wall is moving. And it was the weirdest experience. I thought an earthquake would be like, you know, shake you. And this thing was like, ooh. It was like being in a boat on the water going over a wave. And I was like, oh, man, this is weird, you know. And so my wife says, we're in an earthquake. The blinds and everything's shaking in here. I said, well, this is great. I'm going to be killed. Find me naked in the shower in Guatemala, you know. It doesn't look very holy at all. So I got to jump out of this thing and get dressed. People were screaming right up down the aisles, and some of our ladies just asleep, just slept through it all. So anyway, and we didn't know that there was even, I mean, I knew they have earthquakes down there all the time, and so I didn't think there was anything major. And we didn't know till actually like noon the next day that it was a major earthquake, you know. And so life was just going on in Guatemala, so wasn't a big deal. But anyway, the only problem we had, and something that you can just say in your prayers for them, is that they're out of season, just like we're out of season here with rain. And they have a rainy season that starts in like later part or mid to later part of September and goes through August, and it didn't rain at all. But then it decided to rain while we were there. And so it rained every day, just poured down rain. And so the farmers were all excited because they've had horrible crop season and everything's really been bad for them. And so y'all can just be praying for them as you're praying for us about rain. They need rain too. It's, you know, everything's just kind of out of sorts. So anyway, but everything looks great. And Timothy, I've got some pictures back there. Go ahead and shoot the first one up. This is what we're known for. Now, is that a hole or is that a hole? Well, how's that for a septic hole? That dude is 18 feet deep, and that is going to be where all of our sewage plant that we've been working on and praying for is going to come to pass and come to completion. I've been real worried at the orphanage. We've just got too many children coming, and our septic sit lines are failing, and our leach fields aren't working like they should, and I just don't want to contaminate all the property and kill everybody in the hillside. And so this is where we're going. It's going to take about another month and a half to finish. And it's funny because some of you guys are probably looking at that, and just so you know, that looks like gunite. Looked like they gunited the side of it there. Oh, they didn't do that. They hand plastered it. They hand plastered the whole side of that just so that the dirt wouldn't cave in on them. So I was like, wow, okay, you people just don't function. They said, oh, yeah, well, there is gunite machines, but we just don't use them. So anyway, that's where a lot of our dollars are going right now to get this completed. I know it's not pretty. I wanted you to see this so that you would realize we don't do a lot of pretty work. We don't get to do a pretty building with everything. We have a Living Waters house there with kids in it, but, you know, there's a lot of people that will give money to build a house, and then they can take a picture of it, and it looks pretty, and the little flowers in front of it, the kids in it, and they say, oh, we did this, it makes them feel good. But the reality is we can't have children there if we don't have the septic working. And so people don't want to pay for that, but we do. We stand in there, and we get the job done. So go ahead and go to the next picture. These are two little boys that just came into the orphanage Friday. And it really, this is the first time that I have been when children just arrived that day. So they came in, and I was with Brother Ivan, and they came in. And the one little boy, he was all like wired and excited about everything. And the other little boy, in just a minute, just began to just cry and cry and cry and just weep and sob. And all of us just got teary-eyed. And my wife was there, and she grabbed him and hugged him. And then Carrie, Yuri's wife, got him and started talking to him. And he started saying to her in Spanish, "All I did was go out on the street." In his mind, he was being punished. He had been taken away from the bad situation he was in because that's all he knows. And brought to this place, and he was being punished. And they started saying, "No, no, you know, this is where you're going to live now, and we're going to keep you off the streets." And well, this picture is actually the next day. They got them all new clothes, got them some, you know, sporty looking shorts there and stuff, and got them all on them. And now they're already starting to adjust and getting integrated into the homes and being really excited. So go to the next picture. Now this. In the 10 years we've been working with Casa Angelina, is this unbelievable story to tell you that I've never heard a story quite like this. We have a lady, her name is Norma, and Norma travels around the region and finds bad situations. And then Norma works with the judge of this area, the magistrate, to then look into the situation and see what can be done to get bad kids out of bad situations. So basically all she does all her days is scout for children in need. And she found this family up in the mountains, and they don't even have a house. They live under a tree with some cane poles coming out to make some little arbor that they've done. They live there. The wife has had 17 children, and 10 of the children have all died because they're just died of exposure and whatever. They literally live like animals. You know how we always have said, you know, where were you raised by wolves? These kids were raised by wolves and just living up in the mountains. And so these children, these five we got right here, there was a baby was six. The seventh child they couldn't find. So they don't know if the child's just dead or whatever. The mother would not relinquish the infant, which was extremely malnourished, but she wouldn't relinquish the infant. And so these children came to the orphanage. Let me see my phone right there. I've got their ages because you'll be shocked. The girl is Brenda, and she's 13. She looks like an old woman. Jorge is 10. Manuel is 8. I'm not sure what this girl's name is. Is it Michaela? Is that the way it's spelled? Michaela is 6, and Juan is 2. Now, the girl, you see, she has shoes on. But they had no soles on them. There was paper just in the bottoms of them. And you can tell the little boy has on a pair of rubber boots, but then he has on his pants or infant pants that, you know, are too short, and the shirt's too short. And they had no clothes, had no anything. Go ahead and give me the next picture. So it's not bad. You know, we have to bathe the children, de-lice them and everything before they can come into the orphanage, because you know how that works. Then all the children will have lice. They had never seen soap. And when the soap began to foam up on them, they began to just go crazy and scream and cry because they had never seen soap foam. So they'd never had any underwear. The baby has never had a diaper on. They've never used a toilet. They've never wiped themselves. They've never anything. They just live in the woods like an animal. They don't speak Spanish. They only speak Quechua, which is their own Mayan dialect. Now, thank God, we have 3 people at the orphanage who are tutors and work there that speak Quechua. And so they were able to communicate with the children. So it's kind of hard in your minds to believe that this exists in the world today. When we look at America and look at everything going on, and we have, Yes, we have street children, we have homeless children and things of this nature. But to think that these people lived in the woods like this, it's amazing. Now, this is what will blow your mind. These children are going to get the greatest life, the best education. They're going to be taught through school. They're going to be taught to learn Spanish. Then they're going to get a chance in their life as they grow up to go to a university to be educated. So they're going to literally have been raised under a tree, but can be kings in the courts of Jesus. Amen? So this is what it's all about. This is what y'all are doing. This is what the money, the support that we're doing does to help these children. I think I got another picture there. This little girl, she was so sad. But see, as soon as our children began to give them gifts and began to give them stuff, they just brightened up. They're like, what? You're giving me this? And so, you know, she just automatically changed her focus after she was cleaned up and said, hey, this isn't such a bad deal. Go to the next one. And that right there is the awesome, the team and the kids that were all there. And what I want to do right now is I just want to, Tracy, if you can get the ladies, all you ladies that were on the trip, come on up. And I know some of y'all don't want to, but I want you to, because I want everybody else to hear what's going on. And so they can give their perspectives of what took place and what they saw. Come on up here, everybody. I can see your smiling faces. Don't be shy. Y'all weren't shy this week. When you were wheeling and dealing in the market, y'all weren't shy.
Come on. Come on, Mama. We'll let the ball bag go first, and then this ball bag will go last. It was the most amazing week ever. Ever. Precious, precious children that just love to be loved. Oh, another ball bag. I'm sorry.
No, Linda does that to me. I know that I'm changed forever. Mm-hmm. I saw Jesus in action. I saw what his love can do to a person in their face, in their eyes, in their body that I never thought, I guess I took advantage of it and I never realized it. And I have thought over and over, do you know how blessed we are here? We all say that, but do you know how blessed you are here? And I thought about over and over and over, God just had it in my head over and over and over, what $30 a month can do for a child, for a family, for a home. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Ever since I knew about this cause, I wanted to go. It's in my heart. I love the children. But it was an indescribable gift that God gave us to be able to go. So if you ever get an opportunity, go. I mean, it's just, you know how you see those commercials where these children just tear at your heart and they look so sad and, you know, horrible. But you never want to send your money in because you don't know if it's really getting to that person. In the orphanage, you know it's getting there. You can see the works. You can see there's children and the changes in them. Every day, a couple children would get up and give us a testimony. And the testimony from what they came from and how they feel today was amazing. And I just got to say, praise the Lord. And what was the other one? Dios levan digas. We learned that, which is God bless you. We got to say that to a lot of children and the widows. And the widows is a whole other story. But go, and if you haven't started supporting this orphanage, please start. It's a wonderful cause, and it's like a whole community there that has been created through the Lord for these children.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I just want to tell you, you don't really know what you have until you leave it and you go someplace like that. Oh, my gosh. I was blessed, but it was horrible. those people live in the most horrible conditions. The only light that I saw was at that orphanage. It was the only light that I saw of God. And it was because what we do. And one thing we don't appreciate is Pastor and Laura. My gosh, the fact that they do what they do and go where they go and take us where they have taken us. And, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm covenant with Brother Ivan. Yeah, I give him $100 a month. I'm telling you, folks, that's nothing. That is nothing. I am ashamed to say that I have not bonded with the water hole and given them $30, $60, $90. We went to a lady's house, and I had to make sure where I walked so I wouldn't be in hog mess. And the only thing that she had to live from was the fact that she made cheese from her cow that she had to go find something to eat for and feed. And then they stole her cow. And she had nothing. She had nothing. I was worried where I was going to step. And the little man who could barely make it up the hill with a turned foot and gnarly toes was almost dragging himself up the hill trying to get wood just so he could eat something. And God only knows what he was going to eat. There's nothing alive there. There's where we were at that village. There was nothing for those people. It was horrible. And I am ashamed to say that I live where I live and live how I live and that I can only send $100 a month over there to those people. Brother Ivan and Pastor Robert have made a difference in those children's lives. They would stand up and tell you how their mothers had been beaten and they had been raped by their father and they had nowhere to go. I told one girl, and then 1 second later, they were happy and laughing and giggling, and they had the Lord in their heart. I mean, it's changed a world. That world is the only happiness in that area that I saw. I was laughing with her, and I told her about guacamole, and you know, she said, I can't eat avocados. And I said, why? My God, you have a tree that was 15 feet tall, full of them. I mean, I could live. And she said, because when I was a little girl, that's all I had to eat before I came here was avocados. And she said, every time I eat one, it reminds me of how horrible it was. And I just can't eat them. I am so happy to be here in this church, in this United States. And I can't tell you, if you're not doing anything, you need to. If you're doing something, you need to double it. They need our help. They need our help.
Amen. Thank you. Well, Dwayne and I have been, we're partnered with Robert and Laura. Whatever they do, we do. We've been giving since the beginning when we found out about when we started it. But you just do it because it's what you do. We're giving because God says to do it. You take care of orphans. You take care of widows. But we were doing it. But when I got there, I've been wanting to go there for, since they've gone, I wanted to go. And Dwayne's gone and he's built and Chad's gone and he's built and I haven't had a chance to go. And so I told Laura, I said, the next time you go, I'm going. I don't care what. So I saved my money and I went and you can see the orphanage from the highway. And it's all bright red roofs and you can see the orphanage from the highway. And the scripture that popped into my spirit when I saw that from the highway was that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And it literally is like a city on a hill. And so we're driving up. We drive up this beautiful cobblestone road up to a certain point and then it turns to dirt that, you know, waters run through and there's ruts everywhere. And you finally get to the gate, huge metal gate to go through. And we go in through the doors and Pastor pulls the van around and we stop. And the presence of God was so strong there, I wept. I couldn't stop crying. It wasn't sorrow. It was, oh my God. We are doing something here. We are doing something here. We are rescuing children off the streets. And one of the shirts that they have, it says, rescuing orphans or orphans to royalty. Is that right? And these children, they come running down. I think I have some pictures, but did they do them up there? Whenever they saw Robert and Laura step out of the van, just down the hill, everything's on a hill, everything's on a hill. They come running down. And I don't know if I have a picture, but I took a picture and they are just clinging to them, just holding them and touching them and grabbing them and holding them. And it's just, what happens when you go is that You get a revelation of what we're doing. It matters. What really matters. And when you give your dollar a day, you give your dollar a day. It's making a difference. These children are so beautiful. They are glowing. They are alive with the Spirit. This place is amazing. Ivan saw me. He's like, hey, what took you so long to get here? I'm like, I have no excuse. I don't know. He's like, well, what'd you think I had? Just a shack? Do you think I was just putting him up in a shack? I'm like, no, no, it's not that. It's just so overwhelming to see that what we're doing is making a difference. People call them every single day saying, we have kids. We want you to have them. Most of the orphanages in Guatemala are just institutions that keep the kids safe off the streets. Casa Angelina is a place where the kids come in. There's a clinic for their health. There's a school for their education. There's pastors for their spiritual life. These kids are going to change their nation. And guess what? You are helping them change their nation. Every time we give that dollar a day, we're changing Guatemala. We're partnered with them to change that country. And those kids, those girls, the first ones that they got, they're all grown up, and we're fixing to send them to university. And they have dreams of being brain surgeons and lawyers, doctors, all the things that in their beginnings never even crossed their mind to be. I can't even talk about what happened to them. I can't even contain it. But the scripture that came to me on the way home is, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And when Duane and I started, we lived from paycheck to paycheck. But we found our $25 a month to give to Robert and Laura. That's where we felt like God wanted us to start sowing our seed. So even if you're living from paycheck to paycheck, you can find a dollar and squeeze a dollar somewhere a day to help us rescue these babies, because we're making a difference. When you see the ones like Monica and Carmen, and you hear their stories, and Mercedes, and you see them, what they began with, and they tell their testimonies and how they were raped and abused by their own family members, and now they have hope, they're healed, and their bodies are healed in their spirit and their minds, and they have a dream now. And every person that comes in there to help them, all the advisors and all the different people, they start hearing from the kids, and it starts giving them a purpose and a dream. The Guatemalans there, the adults that come there to see what's going on, it gives them a purpose, and they start dreaming and having vision for their lives, not just the base way of living in Guatemala, making it from day to day. Where am I going to find my firewood? It's giving them vision and purpose. So thank you so much. For Pastor's Appreciation, I think the most amazing and honorable thing you could do is to let Robert know and let Laura know that you've partnered with them. Even if you've been giving for 10 years since we started this, go and let them know. Look them in the eye and say, I'm with you. I'm partnered with you. And if you haven't started yet, let that be your appreciation today, to partner with us, to do your dollar a day, $30 a month. It's so small, but it's making such a huge impact. Amen?
Okay. Praise God. Y'all give them a hand clap for endurance and blessing. Thank you, ladies. Thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all. You know, to run the Living Waters House, and I want to have some other pictures for you. I just didn't want to overload you with pictures today of the children that are actually in the Living Waters House. You know, we built that house 8 or 10 years ago. We've had to remodel it. It's all remodeled now. Everything's pristine in there. We have granite countertops. We have, you know, it's a really nice home. And I know we have some pictures of all the children eating, and it's one of the houses that they take the smaller children first. So the ages of the children are probably below 6 that go into the Living Waters House, and then they stay there for a while, and then we transition them to other houses as the kids grow a little older, then they move to different houses, and they don't always just stay in one house for their whole entire life. And it's a real blessing, because we've been there for so long that now there's some older girls that come up to me, and you know, I can't remember them all. There's 130 children. I can't remember everybody, and then they're in and out, and so they'd come up and they'd say, you know, I used to live in the Living Waters House. Thank you. And now they're in another house, you know, or something, and you're just like, wow, this is we've been in this for so long. We're seeing growth. We're seeing these children, you know, moving and getting older and growing up and knowing that what we did literally 8 years ago has affected somebody's life that's brought them about to right now. And, you know, it costs us about $4,500 a month to just supply everything for the Living Waters House, to do the, you know, the food, the clothing, because, you know, I treat those children as if they were my children. So when they need shoes, you know, I get a phone call and we buy shoes, we do whatever, you know, because I'm not, they're going to be taken care of. They're going to have the best of whatever we can afford. And so we have that's our budget. So that's what I do with a dollar a day. We have about 70 of y'all that are faithful to give the dollar a day, which is $30 a month, $365 a year. And I put that money together, and that's how I arrive at the money to sustain that house. Then when we're doing other projects like this septic system and, you know, with the aquaponics or we bought an oven. There was a new guy working for us, Marvin. You know, they got the craziest names in Guatemala. You know, you think Enrique, you know. Juan, you know. No, his guy's name's Marvin. And so Marvin's working for us, and he's the assistant groundskeeper guy. And so we find out that he's by profession a baker. And I'm like, you're a baker? And he says, yeah, that's what my family was bakers. Everybody's a baker. We all grew up with bakers, you know. And so I said, well, you're doing the wrong job then. If you're out here working on the houses and cutting grass and doing things like that, you need a baker. I said, well, it takes a special kind of oven to be a baker. You got to have a certain baker's oven. And I said, well, what does a baker's oven cost? And so Yuri was standing there and said, I think about $2,500. And I said, well, then done. We'll buy you an oven. So I already have money transferred down there. It's already gotten there. So they're buying Marvin an oven. So now we'll do our own baking at the orphanage, and he'll make the bread and put it in there. He was so excited. The smile that came on his face is like, wow, I'm going to really get to do what I know to do to help to do this. So we no longer are going to have to buy bread because Marvin's baking on the oven from y'all. So anyway, so it's just cool. It's just cool to see these things going on. The other thing is, and I have not got this worked out, but you know how I am. I just bulldoze into a situation. If it's not right, then I got a good reverse gear and I back out. But it really broke my heart about them stealing this lady's cow. You know, I mean, my first thought was, you know, let's just find them and beat them and get the cow back, you know? And then I thought, well, if I get the cow back, what am I going to do? Because unless I build a big fence around the house, they're going to steal her cow again and whatever. And so I just came up with the idea that it's just time for Living Waters Church to go into the cattle business. So just so happens to be that one of the farmers whose property he's been having a hard time because of the drought down there and them not being able to support himself, wanted to work for us. And so he is growing our vegetables and doing all of our stuff on the orphanage and working there. He has 10 cows, and he wants to sell them. So I said, well, let's talk about this now, because my thought was is if we could buy the 10 cows and then like sharecrop with him, let him take care of the cows, and then we get the milk, and then just take the milk to the widow. Then she can do what she is gifted to do, make cheese, and then we'll buy the cheese back from her. And that way she has a source of income. She feels good about herself. She's, you know, producing. And so anyway, that's in the works. Ivan and Yuri kind of looked at me crazy when I said, man, I want to buy the cows. And they were like, what? I said, yeah, let's buy cows. Let's go in the cattle business. I'm a cowboy. Let's go in the cattle business. Of course, it's pretty sad that all like Holsteins or something, you know, it's not like buy a really nice F1 heifer or something like that. You know, you got these old Holsteins. I'm scared because any of you guys that ever work with cattle, I keep thinking I'm going to smuggle a bottle of ivermectin down there, you know, that it's got to be worked because every cow looks like they're just about to drop dead. And it's got to be worms. And I thought I'd probably give them the ivermectin and kill the worms and kill the cow too. You know, probably they're nothing but a big worm walking around. But anyway, but we're working on that. I'm not giving up plans of being in the cattle business. I like that deal. One of the other things to just tell y'all, because I just want to take some time. I hope this is a blessing y'all this morning. But the other thing that's crazy is, you know, everything we do is on a learning curve, because a lot of the things that we've done, we've, you know, never been done before. Like we've done this aquaponics. It is the coolest thing to me. I love to just go sit in there. I could sit in there all day long and drink coffee and just watch it, because We have this young man named Ronald who's staying with us and was raised there at Casa Angelina. And he plants the seeds. He gets the seeds to sprout, plants them in little dishes, you know, and then they sprout. And then he takes them over there and he gets them into the aquaponics deal. And he does it on schedules. And then they're grown in these styrofoam. They're about, I don't know, about this, you know, like this, with has little holes in it. And then the seeds are in, then they sit in there. And then we have the fish over in the tanks, and then all the waste from the fish goes through, and that's the fertilizer for the plants, and it goes through this huge system. It comes all out in there. And so he has it all like, okay, this week is the lettuce we need for the cafeteria, and then this is growing to be the next week, and this is growing to be the next week, and this is growing to be the next week. And so he can plot out. He has worked with the chef. We finally have got the system. At first, we just grew. Like, let's just grow! And then we're like, wow, we have like, you know, 700 pounds of lettuce. We did grow over 500 pounds of tomatoes. And so anyway, so now we've got it down with the chef. So the chef is like preparing recipes of our menus according to how the food's coming out of the aquaponics. So it's so cool. It's like, here's this guy putting this little seed in, and then that's going to be their meal 6 weeks from now, you know? And so we've already cut our food bill tremendously by the aquaponics. The other thing that's so funny about it was that we, you know, of course, I don't even, sometimes I'm scared to even say these things because somebody might come up to me and just say, well, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And I really don't, because we're just kind of just discovering these things, you know? And so we started having problems. Some of the plants, they weren't doing well. And we were like freaking out, trying to figure out what was wrong. And Andrew, Ivan's son-in-law, who's married to Bethany, is the one that's in charge of the aquaponics. And then Ronald works under him. And they're doing all these conference calls, calling everybody in the country, trying to figure out what was wrong. And then one day Ronald noticed something. He noticed one of the whatever you call those little styrofoam deals that the plants are growing in move. And he pulled it up and looked, and a fish swam by. And they're like, what? And so they started pulling them up, and there was like, they were over 3 pound. There were seven in one deal and nine in another. What had happened was the fingerlings we put in got through the screen and went through the whole deal and got over in there and started growing, and nobody knew they were in there. And we've got these, you know, enormous 3 pound tilapia swimming through eating the roots of our plants. So they had to get in there, pull them all out, you know, get there, you drug them out of there. But they got 53-pound tilapia off at one time and fed them all. Okay, but this is a thing that we didn't know. We were told going into this thing that we had to continually put fingerlings in there and to grow them because that the fish would not reproduce. Well, our fish are reproducing. We all of a sudden now have 160 fingerling fish swimming around that we did not buy, that are in our tanks. And so we're just like believing it's just, you know, I mean, we know how fish are made, but they're not supposed to be making fishes. So we're just believing God. It's like the, you know, the pot that stirred and just was multiplied. So we just keep doing it. So anyway, future, we're looking at doing more fish because fish is a big deal. It's working tremendously. We're growing tilapia like gangbusters. And so we're looking at just putting in one complete fish tank, fishery, for the kids. And because we can grow so many fish in such a small area. And so anyway, it's glorious. It's glorious, glorious what's going on. Amen? So, glory to God. I got a message for you this morning. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time because we're already late. But I do have a word I want to share with you. So go get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of Daniel. This is just something God dropped in my heart yesterday when we were coming home. Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel chapter 6 is a story that, you know, most of you have heard as a child, Daniel in the lion's den. But I want to show you something here quickly. And I don't want to read it all just because of, for time's sake, but If you know the story, and I encourage you, if you don't know it really well, read it, Daniel chapter 6. But there was a king, and his name was Darius. And King Darius, he was ruling over the land at that time. And Daniel had been recognized because he had an excellent spirit, the Bible says about him. Because he was a man that was devoted to God. He was a man that loved Jesus. Jesus wasn't there, but just let me say it like that, okay? Let me paint the big brush here this morning. Anyway, he loved God. He loved Jesus. He had a heart that wanted to serve God. And the Bible says because of that heart, he had an excellent spirit. And God blessed him, and he had wisdom above his learning. And he was the way he held himself and the way he conducted himself, because he was an honorable person. It made all the difference in the world. And he got discovered by King Darius as he was a man of wisdom. And I felt like the Lord was, as I was coming back, he wanted me to share this with you and encourage you. You see, that's what we're trying to do with the children at Casa Angelina. We're trying to take the spirit that normally would have been sowed in them, which if you know, if you've ever been in a bad situation and you see that there's no way out, what happens to us in life is so many times we want to turn back to the ways of the world. We want to become a liar. We want to become a thief. We want to become a manipulator, because it's the only thing that comes natural to us in this world to try to get ahead, to try to keep our head above water, to try to survive. You will lie to get a meal if you're hungry. You will steal to get a meal if you're hungry. Well, if you stay in a culture like that, and that's all that you ever know, well, then it becomes habit. And then after a while, if you stay in it long enough, you just believe that's just the right way to do things. And you begin to operate like that. Most people, if they have, or what we're doing at Casa Angelina, is training the children to say, no, we're not thieves. You're not an orphan. You have parents that love you. We love you. We're taking care of you. You do not have to live in a victim mentality. You don't have to live in this place that would make you say, well, what chance do I stand in life? I'm just an orphan. You don't live in a victim. We don't let them be victim mentality. We teach them all the time. You're a son and a daughter of God. In essence, you're a VIP, what I've been trying to teach y'all. You're a VIP. You're a person of importance. You have value. You mean something. You mean something to us. You mean something to God. And so Daniel was a man that was raised to where he had that excellent spirit on the inside of him. And the children at Casa Angelina are growing in this. Like, we have a young girl, and some of y'all have met her before, Mimi. And Mimi came in. She was in a horribly, horribly sexually abused child. And just the worst you can imagine happened to this poor girl. And she came, and she was just broken. But God has restored her. She loves Jesus. She's full of God. She's full of the Holy Spirit. She prays in tongues. She's just a little firecracker. And now she's come to the place, and we laugh about her, because now she comes to the place, she's like, I'm your daughter. Now take care of me. I need this. It's no more like, oh, are they going to give me some? No, she's like, she acts just like your daughter would. Daddy, I want this. I need this. Can we get this for me? And what do you mean? It doesn't make any difference to them than 130. I'm your daughter. Take care of me. And it's just so precious, because she's got such a beautiful spirit, and God has solely restored her from the destructive place she was raised. And I get to see the miracle, because it's not that, oh, she just got out of the poverty. No, no, no. God had to restore her, or she would still be a victim mentality, even though she had a roof over her head and food in her stomach. Y'all with me? Because you can't live and be a victim in life. You have to be an overcomer in life. Everybody say an overcomer. Everybody say I'm an overcomer. You can't live in victim mentality. Victim mentality will keep you trapped and in prison all of your life. And that's what we don't want for our children. We want our children to grow up and say, I can do anything. I'm not a victim, okay? So Daniel began, and because of this mentality that Daniel had, he wasn't arrogant, okay? He wasn't boastful. He wasn't prideful. He just had an excellent spirit. He had this spirit that says, I'm a child of the king. But everybody hated him for it, okay? And I want to take a side note here. There's going to be a wave, and I'm just prophesying this. There's going to be a wave come across America that has already started, but it's going to grow worse before it's defeated. That's going to be mad at you as a Christian believing that you're a child of God. Okay? And I'm telling y'all, just get ready. You can go ahead and say, Pastor already said it. When this happens, don't be surprised. Don't be like, oh, I can't believe it's that. No, it's just a demonic spirit that's going to sweep across America that's going to get mad at you for being a Christian because you believe that you're exceptional because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Okay? It's going to happen. But just keep your chin up because that's the end of the story. I've already read it. All right? So just say, yeah, whatever, and go on. So Daniel, he had the spirit in him, and so they hated him for it. And so they trying to figure out ways to get him. So the only way, listen to this, this is good. The only way they could trap Daniel was they had to trap him in his own religion. They had to trap him in what they knew he would not yield or change or compromise. Are y'all with me? Like, you're not going to compromise that Jesus Christ is Lord. You better not. You know, if somebody says, I don't believe in healing, you can say, oh, well, whatever. I know I do, but whatever you want to do, that's fine, whatever. Well, I believe that you're supposed to be only sprinkled, not immersed. Or I don't believe you're supposed to be immersed. Oh, man, whatever. I ain't going to argue. Just go on. Just come on with your bad self down the road. I ain't going to argue about that. You know? Yeah, there's certain things that it's not worth the fight. It's not worth the emotional energy to argue with somebody over that. I know what I believe. I know what the Bible says, and I know what I'm going to preach, but whatever. Okay? But when they got Daniel and what he was going to do, because he was going to pray to God. Hear me now. This is prophetic too. He was going to pray to God. When this wave sweeps across America, it's going to come upon you and it's going to try to nail you right at a point that you cannot yield. Such as, well, you can't believe the Bible's true. You can't really believe that Jesus is the only way. Every religion is all going to get to heaven. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You might as well get ready. Because when it comes across, don't be surprised. It's going to blow in and it's going to get you just like it did Daniel on a place where you can't compromise. And the best thing to do when that happens is to be so bold, just like Daniel did, and said, oh, this is where y'all want to get me? All right, go pray. They said, don't use the name of Jesus. He said, oh, you mean you don't want me to use in the name of Jesus? You don't want me to say Jesus. You don't want me to say, Father, I believe you in the name of Jesus. You know, say it as many times as you can when they tell you don't. Y'all with me? So, Daniel goes and prays. This is all in chapter 6. You can read this. Daniel goes and prays, and the people say, look, King, you said anybody that recognizes somebody else but you is going to supposed to be thrown in the lion's den. And he's like, I did say that, but I didn't think about Daniel. Because the king really loves Daniel. He sees a great person in him. And so his enemies say, we got him. We're going to feed him to the lion. It's going to be into him. Well, listen to me. You know, a lion's den is pretty scary. How many of y'all in here have ever seen a live lion? Raise your hand. Y'all ever been to the zoo and seen a lion? Come on, folks. A live lion, it's not like an overgrown tomcat. Right? I'm talking about a full-grown lion. It's scary. When I was in Africa and I, for the very first time, heard a lion roar in the wild, you're kind of like, I mean, it makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And especially when they go, okay, you're like, I mean, like when we were in Botswana, they told us, we had a lion attack, but we don't think that the lion meant to eat the guy. He was probably trying to kill the horse, and the man happened to be on him. And I'm like, okay, so the lion didn't kill a man. He killed a horse and a man. And ate them both. Okay, yeah, that's a little different story. Yeah, but he didn't mean to. They kept saying, but he didn't mean to kill the man. He was just on the horse. And I was like, okay, big kitty ate me. I don't like that. A lion's den's a pretty scary thing. You're going to be faced with some scary things. But you know what? God doesn't look at lines as being scary because God is God. You need to turn yourself to the place where you know that everything that God did is greater than anything that man can do. Are y'all with me? You need to get yourself into the place in life that you always have to believe, I'm really fascinated by angels. Okay? We have angels, certain types of angels that fly around heaven and sing. We have other angels that kill 185,000 people in one night. I'm not too worried about a lion, lion versus angel. Angel wins. Okay? So, if you look at verse 18, Daniel chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Now the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting with no musicians were brought before him, and also sleep went from him. So the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamentating voice to Daniel. And the king spoke, saying, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' And Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you.'" In other words, Daniel said the lions came because he was righteous before God. Now listen to me. The lions that are coming can't eat you because the blood of Jesus makes you righteous. So you are righteous before God. Now, we're not perfect. We don't do everything right, but we are righteous before God by the blood of Jesus. So the lions' mouths that look like they're going to eat you are going to be shut because God is going to be the one who's taking care of you. Hello? So can you imagine the scene of Daniel sitting in the lion's den and watching huge beast lions that would have eaten him? And what are they just going? I mean, he said he shut their mouths. So like they're trying to roar and go. I mean, think about that. Come on. I mean, really, the reality of this. It would have been hilarious to watch these lions trying to get their mouths open. See, some of y'all are like, "Oh, Pastor, the lions just laid down all night. They didn't really have their mouths shut." He says he shut their mouths. All right. "Now the king was exceedingly glad. He commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken out of the lion's den. No injury whatsoever was found upon him because he believed in his God." Come on now. You tell me that, you know, it's going to come to the place in life that we're just because you're a Christian. This is what we try to teach the children. You've got to be a believer in God. You're a Christian. You're not just Christian by religion. You're Christian because you believe in God Almighty who made the heavens and the earth and all therein. You believe in a living God, a God who's alive, a God that will bless you, a God that will speak to you, a God that will heal you, God that will restore you. Hello? A living God, not just religion. He goes on, he says, "And the king gave the command that they should brought those men and accused Daniel. So they cast them out of the lion's den, them and all their children and their wives. And the lions overpowered them, broke all their bones to pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den." Before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That's pretty rough. "Then the king wrote to all the peoples and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, 'Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel.'" Now, if you notice this story, it went from them trying to destroy the voice of God to now the king saying, "This is what is right." I'm telling you, listen to me. The encouragement I have for you today is, the lion's den, you may just be going into the lion's den, but coming out on the other side, you conquer everything. No matter how bad it looks, listen to me, you cannot get discouraged in this day and age going on. You have to be able to look at what's in front of you and say, you know, God's bigger than that. And you have to realize and be encouraged because it may look like there's a dark period, but God comes on the other end of it, and it's a decree like this. It says, men must fear and tremble God. This happened at another time in life. If you remember, if you go back and you study your history, my dates may be wrong, 1300s, Constantine turns to all the world and makes all the world Christian. When it was, you were killed if you were a Christian. Now all of a sudden the next day, everybody is a Christian. What happened? Same type of thing. All of a sudden a king stands up and makes a decree. Listen to me, I believe, again, I'm speaking prophetically. If you get to heaven and I'm wrong, then slap me. But tell Jesus on me. But I believe that we're going to come to a time you're going to see America turn back around, and you're going to see that it's almost like you must be a Christian. We're looking at the lion's den right now. We're looking at standing at the edge of the lion's den. We're looking at the lions. But we're about to see great miracles because the lion's mouth is going to be shut. And we're about to get it turned around and come out on the other end of it where Christianity is going to super exceed everything that we could believe. Now listen to this. This is what he says. This is what Darius says about God. For he is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Listen to this, verse 27. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now listen to me. I don't know where you are in life today, but just like we teach the children at Casa Angelina, you're not a victim. You may have been a victim, but you don't have to be a victim. You may have been victimized, but you don't have to live in that victim mentality, because you serve a living God who delivers and who rescues. Hello? Who delivers from the mouth of a lion and rescues you from your enemies. A lot of times our enemies in life are not physical. They're all right in our head. From the abuse that came in life comes back onto us, and the enemy's right here. And what God's saying to you today, church, is this. He wants you delivered and he wants you rescued. Just like we're rescuing the orphans in Guatemala, he wants you rescued. He wants you happy and healthy and whole. He doesn't want you having to deal with some kind of crazy person up inside your head running around who's not on a leash. Not that that ever happens to y'all, but I have to admit, when we were on the plane flight down there, we went through all the customs well. Everything was okay, to be expected. But when we got on the plane from Houston to Guatemala City, it was full flight, crowded, and it was just, I felt like I didn't have a piece of hair left on me. Because I just had to just waller and rub with everybody on the whole plane. It was just one of those times you just felt like you were just sat in your chair like this, and just everybody was just hitting you and bags falling in and stuff. And I just, man, I lost it. And I murdered everybody on that plane. Prayed for them, resurrected them, introduced them to Jesus, and murdered them again. I was so irritated with all the people. I'm driving me crazy. Get me off this plane, Lord. And the Lord said, you know, you don't have to live like this. I said, I know it. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And I began to pray for people. God, help that person up there. You can see they're tormented. Help them. And just one thing after another started happening. And I'm just telling you, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live as a victim. You don't have to live in that mentality with a crazy person loose in your head. God wants to deliver you, and he wants to restore you. And the way you do it is you simply cry out for him to come into your life. You realize that he is a living God. You realize that he is the answer for your life. Realize that you're manipulating and you're coercing and you're lying and you're cheating and you're stealing will never get you what you want. You need the living God delivering you from the mouth of the lions. You need the living God setting you free. You need the living God in your life. You need the living God in your house. You need the living God in your job. You need the living God in every part of everything that's going on in your life. And when you get to that place that you can't put your pants on in the morning without the help of God, you don't have enough sense to drive your car down the road without the power of the Holy Ghost. That everything you do, every breath you take, you realize that if it was so, and God said, I need my breath back, yours is gone. Because He put it in you. Hello? That everything that you do, you cry out for the living God. Listen to me. You'll be just like Daniel. The Holy Spirit will develop an excellent spirit on the inside of you. You'll stand upon God's word and you'll see victory. You'll see deliverance. You'll be healthy, happy, and whole, just like those children are at Casa Angelina. We were getting ready to leave, and like I said, I'd gotten sick, and I was a little out of it. And so I was just hugging the girls when we were leaving, the ones that we've had forever there, and I've seen them grow up. And I was giving them a hug, and I just telling them, you know, I love you very much, and giving them a hug and going to the next one. And so one of the girls came up from behind me, and I just grabbed her and hugged her, and I called her by the wrong name. I said, Jackie, but her name's Gabby. And she said, she looked at me, and she said, my name's Gabby. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I felt loved, because it wasn't like she just brushed me off like, oh, you silly American. But she really knew that I loved her, and she really knew that I cared about her, and really knew that it meant a difference, and I had made a difference in her life. And so we laughed, and I hugged her, and folks, listen to me. God wants to do that to you. He wants to hug you. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to rescue you in life. Amen? So all you got to do is call out to Him. All you got to do is just cry out for the living God, and He'll come right into you. Amen? Stand up if you would. Now I'm going to pray for you. I don't need a show of hands. I don't need you to do anything except open up your hearts and receive. But if you're here today and you know you need rescuing, but right now as I pray, just let God come into your life. Father, right now, over everybody that's in this building today, over by everybody that's listening by audio or watching by video, I just thank you today, Lord God, that you reach out and you rescue them. As you hear their cries, as you hear their distresses, as you hear the mouth of the lion's roar, Lord God, that you're there and you shut those enemies in life. Whether that enemy be sickness, that enemy means is a victim, whatever the problem may be, Lord God, whatever it is in life that has come upon them that will not live under that oppression, will not live under the heel of the enemy, but will live, Lord God, in that place where you are our deliverer. You are the one who sets us free. So, Lord, just move over each and every one of them. Bless each and every one of them. God, I ask you just to do mighty signs, wonders, and works in their lives today. And Lord, we give you all the praise for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, can I have my prayer team? If you're on the prayer team today, would y'all just come up? And if you're here and you need prayer, well, they'll be here and pray with you. They'll stay afterwards and pray. But I'm going to bless the food. And I thank y'all for this day. I want y'all to know Laura and I feel like we're the greatest pastors on the face of the earth because we get to pastor this church and get to be here with you guys. I think you guys are awesome. You're amazing. Even Brother Ivan will tell you how amazing you are. He says all the time, the things that we do, the miracles that happen through this church, it's unbelievable. And I believe our greatest days are ahead of us. Amen. So look at the person beside you and say, our greatest days are ahead of us. So grab that hand and let's pray. Lord, bless the food. I just thank you, Lord, for all the hands that prepared it. I thank you for the love in here today. I thank you that as we get to pastor this great church, that Lord, that you just bless the people as they have blessed us, as they appreciate the gift that you put in the midst of them. I thank you, Lord, for just pouring out upon them this day everything that they have need of. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.